In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During Lent, and especially as Holy Week gets nearer, we focus on two things: our sinfulness and the death of Jesus. How are these two connected? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 states, Christ died for our sins, which seems the obvious explanation. But actually, it's not as simple as it sounds. What do we actually mean by that phrase, Christ died for our sins? When you learn a foreign language, it's mainly the little words that catch you out. For instance, in English, it's at the weekend, but in German, am Wochenende. Or I'm interested in, but ich interessiere mich für. The Greek text of 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 3, says that Christ died hyper amation hemon. He died hyper our sins. And that word means for, in, on behalf of, for the sake of, about, concerning. Those are all possible English translations. And in English too, the word for has a similar range of meanings. So we need to beware of restricting it to just one meaning when we say Christ died for our sins. Some Christians take these words in the sense of, he paid for my cup of coffee because I hadn't got any money with me. That is, Christ paid the price instead of us because God needed someone to punish. This is known technically as substitutionary penal atonement. And it is summed up in a couple of lines from a chorus, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. It's commonly felt that this is our default position, but it isn't. It is a relatively recent theory of the atonement, and it is a minority view. In fact, even in evangelical circumstances, it is being disputed, sometimes hotly, nowadays. I can't remember who wrote that chorus, but those lines are absolutely dreadful. Very bad theology. For a start, what sort of God is this? What is the sense of praying, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, if that is precisely what God does not do, but demanded the payment of a penalty instead? Then if you believe that this was God's plan all along, and like Milton in Paradise Lost, you imagine a scene in heaven where the Son obediently agrees to the Father's demands, then I'm afraid you have fallen into heresy, believing that the Son is a lesser God than the Father, and contradicting Orthodox Christian belief in the Trinity. Then there's that bizarre story of a courtroom scene that is sometimes used to explain this theory of penal substitution. You have to imagine that I am up in court because I have thrown a brick through a jeweler's window. I am found guilty and sentenced. But then the prosecuting counsel, or is it the judge, steps down and says he will go to prison for me. So, someone goes to prison. It might look as if the penalty is paid, but does that make sense? Is it justice? of course, there is just the possibility that I, hardened criminal that I am, I'm so overwhelmed by this that I give up my life of crime on the spot. This would seem to illustrate the idea that Christ died for my sins as my substitute. Except that what actually saved me from a life of crime was not because a penalty was paid, but because of the generosity and love shown to me. The focus then has moved from penalty to generosity, from punishment to salvation, and the power of love to conquer sin. Another story which is sometimes told, and it exists in several versions, but one of them is about the father who is a railway signalman. And the only way to avoid a catastrophic accident is for him to pull a lever that will divert the train onto a branch line. But this will result in the death of his son, who is now in the path of the train. Leaving aside the Miltonian error that the son is a passive victim, we can say that he died for others, but still no penalty or substitution is involved. We have now moved into the language of sacrifice, a loss of something precious in order to gain something even more precious. Sacrifice not offered out of guilt or fear, but out of boundless love, a self-giving that knows no end. And this is what we find in the classical texts of our Christian faith. In the Creed we say, "Who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven." And in the Eucharistic prayer, we remember his offering of himself upon the cross. The emphasis is on salvation, not punishment, salvation. For it is God's nature to save rather than to demand punishment and satisfaction. Now, this can only be a brief look at an issue over which many litres of ink have been spilt over the centuries, not to mention blood, which just goes to show that we humans are sinful creatures. And Christ did indeed die for, because of, or on account of our sinfulness. He dealt with it on the cross by showing once and for all that there is something greater than all our sins. The love that gives, that spares not, keeps not, all outpours, ventures all, it's all expends. Amen.